You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labour MP Andrew Little.
With new Prime Minister Chris Hipkins' cabinet reshuffle, Andrew Little switched over from the health portfolio to the defence portfolio, retaining all other titles. This was shortly before the floods hit Auckland and cyclones hit Ikamaui, the North Island. This has seen the New Zealand Defence Force deployed to assist thousands of people across the country, seeing many stranded on rooftops and in other dangerous areas in need of safety. We had a chat about all that and more in our first weekly catch-up of 2023. I first asked him how he's found the first couple of weeks of the Defence Minister role.
Been pretty full on, obviously. Been in the role for just over 2 weeks, and of course it's the time that we've been struck with, first of all, the floods in Auckland and then the cyclone this week, and which has required a massive response from New Zealand Defence Force personnel. They've really turned out. We have now nearly 700 people in the New Zealand Defence Forces allocated from Northland to Auckland, Tairawhiti, Bay of Plenty and Hawke's Bay, and then all the equipment that goes with that. So it's been a big effort from them. As well as that, I've been obviously getting up to speed with some of the longer-term issues with our defence forces, and so just working up a plan to deal with some of those long-term issues as we get through the immediate ones as well.
Did you feel well-suited and prepared for the role?
Oh, I'm not unfamiliar with defence issues and with my responsibilities in relation to the intelligence agencies. There's a bit of crossover between intelligence and defence, so I've been familiar with some of their issues, and I've worked with previous defence ministers, Penny Henare, Ron Mark before him. So yeah, and look, I think we have some pretty incredible people in our services. I've been out with them in my first term in Parliament. I had a week with the Navy, including a couple of nights out at sea with them. I see the quality of their training, the quality of their skills. I think we're well served by them, and it's an honour to be the minister responsible for them.
And as you mentioned, the Defence Force has, of course, played a big part in the response to the flooding in Auckland and Cyclone Gabriel. Do you think that the New Zealand Defence Force was well equipped to deal with this crisis?
Yeah, they've certainly pressed everything they've got into service. We've got multiple helicopters, the big NH90s that have quite a bit of capacity and lift capacity. We now have, I think, six of them in service. We've got a Sea Sprite helicopter, one of the naval ones that's been helping with reconnaissance. We've got ships. I mean, they sent out one of the frigates, one of the biggest naval vessels, to help with a rescue of a lone yachty in the Hauraki Gulf a couple of nights ago. They've packed up the Manawa Nui to go down to Gisborne, to Napier with provisions. So they are throwing everything at it that they've got. We're a comparatively small defence force across our three services. They do have to keep a certain amount of capability and capacity on standby, not just for emergencies like this, but in case things happen in the islands or we need it overseas. So as well as responding in huge numbers to the floods and the cyclone, there are still reserve capacity just in case something else happens, and that's the way they have to manage it.
Were there any big differences from your end in the floods, in the response to the floods versus the cyclones, other than just size and scale?
No, pretty much. I mean, we're dependent on, in the Auckland floods, it was dependent on Auckland emergency management to deploy what they needed from New Zealand Defence Forces. They got assistance, we got personnel involved up there, but what they did was at the direction of the Auckland Emergency Management. With Cyclone Gabrielle, because it became a national state of emergency, instructions to New Zealand Defence Force came from the National Emergency Management Centre based in Wellington. And there are very strong links between that agency, National Emergency Management Agency, and Defence Forces. So I think it's just been of a bigger scale, but obviously more effort has gone into the cyclone response than the floods.
The Defence Force did largely come in because it was a national state of emergency, and there were some people criticising if the Defence Force should have been quicker into the fray with the floods. Do you think that maybe there should be some change to the rules to allow state of emergencies to be easier deployed in regional areas?
The Defence Force, it is a military function, and there are very, very clear rules, as they need to be when we're using our military forces for civilian purposes. And so the law set up and the legal framework set up around that is very clear that that instruction has to come from the civilian authorities. That's either the local emergency management arrangement, which in Auckland was the Auckland Emergency Management Centre, or it's the National Emergency Management Agency. So the instruction has to come from there. Otherwise, you know, they can't have the military deploying for civilian purposes on their own initiative. That would be a recipe for all sorts of trouble in different circumstances.
Of course, as you just mentioned, it shouldn't necessarily be the New Zealand Defence Force deciding to step in where possible, but there has been a lot of people who've been pointing out how these sorts of storm and extreme weather responses are becoming a far more frequent and far more volatile, deadly experience for Aotearoa. Do you think that storm and extreme weather event responses could become a bigger focus for the training and funding of the New Zealand Defence Force in the future?
Yeah, well, it is. It's already a core competency for them because they are. I mean, humanitarian assistance and disaster relief is a critical function for our New Zealand Defence Forces, not just for New Zealand, but particularly for the Pacific Islands. Every year, they are deployed somewhere in the Pacific to assist with disaster recovery. So they do that. And yeah, you're right. We know with climate change, these weather events will become more intense and more frequent. So that will be a core part of what they do. But again, you know, they are military. They are trained in combat. There is a hard edge to what they do, that hard edge that equips them well to go into situations of reasonably high degree of hazard or danger and able to do what they do. But there's no question disaster relief and recovery is going to be a big part of what they do for some time to come.
And just one last question, more towards your portfolio as the Minister for Treaty Negotiations. Although Waitangi Day does now within the past week feel like it was a long, long time ago, it was just around a week ago. It took place very recently. Were there any major takeaways or changes that you found at the Waitangi Tribunal this year?
Yeah, I was quite busy actually this year. I was up there for about 5 or 6 days and had quite a busy kind of program of things to do. The one event that stood out, I'm not sure kind of what coverage it got, but there was an event where a local farming family had been working with two of the local hapu, because of what the hapu leaders had told them, they found there was an old parasite on their farm that was of quite significant, of great significance to the two hapu, and the farming family had made an arrangement to hand back that parasite to the two hapu. The government got involved because we assisted with building a road, an access road from the main road to the parasite. It had to go across farmland and negotiated with other farmers and what have you, and also assisted with the technical and legal work of effectively subdividing the piece of land that the parasite was on. It was an incredible thing for that farming family to do. We had a bit of a ceremony and they spoke. They spoke about what they realised and the epiphany that they'd had and the importance for them to hand that piece of land back. And then talking to one of the hapu rangatira afterwards, he talked about how the difference that gesture had made to a lot of the hapu there, that it opened their minds about, gee, what, you know, we start getting land back that's of significance to us. We've got some, you know, we've got some opportunity here. It gives us a bit of hope about the future. It restores our sense of this is our place. That was an incredibly powerful little event that we went in, and I think hugely symbolic, and hopefully we'll see more of it.
That was Minister for Treaty Negotiation treaty negotiations, as well as defence, Andrew Little, chatting about the floods in Auckland, his time in the defence role thus far, and the recent Waitangi Tribunal.
That was Labour MP Andrew Little. The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.